I'm not sure if I'm the only one that's been having this problem lately, but I've been ordering a lot of stuff online, as most people do.
Oh, yeah.
And what I've found is that Amazon somehow manages to get everything right. I get all my packages, they're what I ordered, and I get them exactly when they say they're going to be delivered. But every other retailer has messed up my orders over the last few weeks. I ordered a new curtain rod from Bed Bath & Beyond.
Mm.
They sent me somebody else's return. Literally, the person had handwritten return because the rod is broken.
Wow.
And the rod didn't have ends on it. I bought a pair of new boots from Bloomingdale's I needed for an event. I timed it out so it would get there perfectly on time. I was so excited when it showed up. The box was all messed up. It looked like somebody had destroyed it. I didn't care. I needed the boots. I went in. One was a size 7. The other was a size 7.5. Matching sweaters that were on sale from this website called Aritizia.com or something like that.
Sure.
Great reviews. Everything was good. I've been waiting 3.5 weeks for the delivery. I don't know if it's lost or what. I ordered a pair of pants from another site. The pants came. They're the wrong size, too. And I'm like, is it me? Is it me that's having these problems or is it everyone?
No, I think it's everybody. And of course, it's going to get worse during the holidays. We're just about at that point where they're going to start telling you, order ahead and be prepared for this. And, you know, we're under a big workload and God forbid there's a storm somewhere or something like that. That'll be a problem, too. So it's funny that you mentioned Amazon is getting it all right because for years, I was like, Amazon is incredible. Oh my God, I order it early enough in the morning. I might even have it that afternoon or have it the next day. I never get anything the next day anymore from Amazon. Doesn't matter what they promise me. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what the Prime says, all that stuff. I go on there, I place my order. You're so excited. Immediately after they're like, we've got your order. It's on its way. I'll get another email that says, well, there's been a slight adjustment.
Mm.
And it's like a week later. It's crazy.
See, it's so funny. It's so funny. Like the luck people are having, like good luck or bad luck. Because, you know, people always say like, oh, you shouldn't be buying your things from Amazon because they rule the world and they're monopolizing everything. But to me, it's like, gosh, when you really need something in 2 days, like I needed a pair of shoes for my daughter to wear to her confirmation. I couldn't find anything. They were there the next day.
You go into a store right now, too, and it just feels like you're looking at the same fashion stuff from the last couple of years.
And not even that. Like, they don't have sizes. They don't have stuff. It's a weird world that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we fix it?
I'm just wearing shirts from 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
My wife tells me she needs me to wear a new shirt or something for something on the weekend. I just iron it really nice.
I was about to say, you've been wearing the same Z Cavaricci's for the last 7 days.
And you love them.
They still fit you.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife Alicia to see how he's been behaving as a husband.
Hello.
How are you?
Crazy busy. How are you?
Oh, good. What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. Trying to get Halloween costumes together, and dog just had a birthday and I'm in a wedding next week, and yeah, I'm a little overwhelmed. I still have my summer clothes out and haven't unpacked any of my cooler weather clothing, so it's a struggle.
Okay, so what are you guys going to be for Halloween? Are you doing the couple's costume again?
Of course. I can't tell you, though, because there might be people listening that want to steal our title.
Babe, you have to tell us. I mean, come on.
Listen, someone already said to me that we have some competition this year, so I'm a little nervous, but we're going to be Cruella and a Dalmatian.
Who gets to be Cruella, you or Raven?
He tried to be Cruella. Not happening.
If you wanted to win, it would have been funnier for Raven to be Cruella and you to be the Dalmatian.
Right?
Yep.
That guarantees us a victory. But unfortunately, the dress is already ordered now. It's here. She's tried it on. I've seen it on her. It's not going to fit me. So we can't do that pivot at this point.
Yeah. You're not a size 6?
No.
No.
She got me a size, I don't know, 48 neck dog leash the other day. She seemed pretty excited about that. So,
oh, that's funny. That's cute. I can't wait to see pictures.
Here's the thing, though. You know, that's where the pressure comes is we win a couple of years in a row, and now all of a sudden we feel like, you know, it's a thing that we've got to do every year. What happens if we lose? It's going to be upsetting.
It's funny you bring this up because I have, my neighbors have their big Halloween party every year, and it's very serious. My husband and I don't really do it big anymore for our couple's costumes. We used to. We don't do it anymore. I don't have anything for us to wear.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, what are we going to do? I go, I don't know. We'll go into like the bins and pull something from the past. Ironically, he was horrified that I was like, we'll just redo a costume from the previous year.
Oh, no. For the same party that you've worn it to before?
Yep.
No.
I don't know. Nope. I'm out of it this year.
Better get on Amazon.
How's Raven behaving as a husband?
I mean, he's been good, except for, you know, sitting on the couch on his phone watching me clean the house the other day. Yeah, he's been decent. Did your husband do that?
No, my husband is a super duper cleaner. He's much more anal than I am.
Oh, appreciate the help on that.
Well, I mean, it's true, Raven. You want me to let her?
She was cleaning the house the other day at the same time that we had a contractor coming by. And somebody has to be there to supervise. To be fair, the contractor was like 2 hours late. But, you know, sometimes I just need instruction.
Hold on a second.
Just call out what it is you want me to do.
Wait a minute. You were waiting for the contractor.
Right.
You couldn't pick up a broom during the 2 hours that you sat on the couch waiting for the contractor because you didn't want to miss him?
I got to keep the dogs calm. What? When he pulls in the driveway.
For 2 hours, you weren't like, okay, let me go Windex a window?
Did I say 2 hours? It was more like 70 minutes.
Okay.
But then he was there for a while, so then obviously during that time, I was also not cleaning during that time.
He needed no assistance. He was in the basement and needed absolutely no assistance from us.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's not assistance, it's supervision.
Oh.
So when he entered the house, exited the house, he needed assistance with the dogs so that they wouldn't eat him. But when he was down there, just supervision. Make sure he doesn't leave with the water heater or anything like that.
And you said that you need instructions.
I gave him a job. He did one thing. And then you expect him to come back and be like, what else can I do? Nope. He sat right back down on the couch.
You should give him six things in a row. So then, you know, he just has a list ready to go at all times.
I do like a list.
Yeah.
Well, then he'd mix those six things up and do them all wrong.
Doesn't sound like a lot of confidence.
So what kind of grade would you like to give him for the week?
Yeah, he gets a B, Anna. He's been pretty good. He did take my car in for service for me today, so I can actually not be stuck there.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? This is your chance to just get it off your chest. You just call 1-800-330-9999 and fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Mason, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you slam electronics to try to get it to work, that's really all I need to know about you.
Everybody knows you take the cartridge out and blow in it. Everybody knows.
No, everybody knows you shut it off and you wait 20 seconds and then you turn it back on and then it's magic.
The classic reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But back in the day, slapping the side of the TV seemed like a good idea. When my SIM card was failing on my phone, it's true. I was tapping my phone on things and whatnot. It didn't help.
Nope. I don't think that works.
Alexis, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
If you blow your leaves into the street, that's all I need to know about you.
Or you could be like my neighbors, just blow them into our yard. There's that too.
Yeah, so you know what? My wife and I, this is the strangest argument ever. I don't know why. My wife will break plenty of rules. There are laws and so forth. She knows how to circumvent certain things like everybody does, right? But for whatever reason, when it comes to putting out the leaves or the grass clippings, she insists that the city says that they can't be on the road, that they have to be at the end of your yard. She will get super mad at me. Like, we will have an argument if I put the leaves actually onto the street. And it kills our whole front lawn. And by the way, our lawn ain't in great shape to begin with. So this is a dumb argument and a dumb thing. All our neighbors, all the leaves are in the street. Ours have to be on the yard.
This is exactly why I do nothing in the yard. I don't even go outside because I don't want to be part of any of these conversations or arguments. It's just better my husband handles it all by himself.
I mean, this is a dumb, dumb thing for somebody to be mad about. Ours is a cul-de-sac. It's not even like people are driving through these piles of leaves.
Sean, that's all I need to know about you.
If you see a full bowl of candy when you're trick-or-treating and you take the entire bowl, that's all I need to know about you.
Absolutely. Leave nothing for anybody else. Remember, they used to do that to me all the time when I lived in the condo, Raven.
Mm, yeah, the honor system, right? Yep. That's what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
There's no honor amongst candy and thieves.
Yep.
That's all you need to know. There's no honor, all right, when there's chocolate involved. It's beautiful, nougaty goodness.
I feel like it's a moral test when you see the little sign next to us saying, please only take two. Mm-hmm. It's like, because now there's a conundrum for the children.
Right. Yeah, but it's not like it's Christmas or New Year's Day or Easter where you're thinking about being judged for your sins. Yeah. No. On Halloween, we're doing a deep dive on sins.
One year, I was so mad because the year before they had stolen like a whole thing. I was gone for 15 minutes. They must have taken like $40 of Costco candy. And I put chicken bouillons out there with the gold wrappers, thinking I was going to fool them, right? No, they left all of them, and then they threw apples at my house.
Nice.
So, it's not funny. It's a little funny. Liz Truss just resigned after 44 days in office as the shortest-serving prime minister in British history.
I mean, what is going on over there, right? It feels like anybody could be in charge.
Wait a minute. We should put our hats in the ring for this.
I want to make sure that we're considered, but we've got to put our best foot forward.
Rachel Lampin is our resident British expert. Where from England are you?
I was born in Manchester and made my way down the country, ended up in Brighton.
Rachel, we thought each of us would tell you three things that we know off the top of our heads about England, and then you can decide which one of us is best suited to be the prime minister. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Producer Sean, you go first.
All right. Number one, cheese rolling is a sport. Number two, the Stonehenge is older than the pyramids. And number three, Mousetrap is the oldest running TV show in the world. And it comes from London.
What do you think, Rachel?
It's pretty impressive. The cheese rolling is vicious. That does happen every year. I wasn't sure about Mousetrap, but I will take your word for that. A little disappointed there's no food and drink in that, but, you know, I'm not going to hold that against you, Sean. All good.
I love the fact that she gives a tip of the cap to you now because cheese rolling is dangerous. I feel like people will get behind a candidate who's actually, you know, taken some risk and kind of, you know, gotten together with the natives and done something that they do.
John. There's three things you know about England.
All right, let's go. So, number one, the bathroom is referred to as the loo.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, fries are called chips. And number three, Parliament was established in the 13th century to curb the excesses of the monarchy. I had to write a paper on that one time.
What a dork.
That's right. That's a callback from 2008. I had a Brit Lit paper to write.
What'd you get on that paper?
I don't remember. It wasn't very good.
That's the one line he remembers.
That's pretty impressive, John. It is accurate.
Thank
the bathroom
you, Rachel.
Is the loo, chips, yet, and also Parliament, yeah.
Raven, you go.
All right, here we go. Brits don't care about being pale when it comes to naked humor. People wear strange wigs in Parliament and courtrooms. James Bond is Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Controversial. Yeah, it's true about the wigs. It's true about being pale.
And they'll get naked for any comedy show. I've seen this. These Brits, they'll just get naked wherever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, like it. Well done, Raven.
Rachel, I wanted to go last because not for nothing, but I studied at the BBC when I was in college. So I've spent some time living in England and living in London. But I will say that I learned the hard way that nuggets in London is much different than nuggets, what that means here in America. There's more rats in the London tube than there is in the New York City subway.
Oh, you think that's going to help you get elected prime minister?
Well, I'm just saying it's a problem and somebody should address it. And I don't think it's discussed nearly as much as it should be.
Wow. And lastly?
Stonehenge is the most boring place in the world. And I don't know why people take bus trips for hours to get there. Their scones are stale once you get there. And there's only one little place to go to get them.
It's pretty impressive. The nugget thing. So what's the difference, Anna, with the nugget?
I don't think you want to talk about that.
I can't say it. It's a swear word. It's a really bad swear word, right?
Nuggets.
Nuggets. Like, and then they were called, they said nuggets and bullocks. Bullocks? Am I saying it wrong?
Bullocks.
Am I saying something
bullocks.
Terrible?
Bullocks.
Bullocks. Bullocks.
Oh, bullocks. Yeah, that's man's testicles. Yeah.
I mean, you missed that one. No way you get to be prime minister.
All right. So based on that, which one of us gets to be prime minister of England?
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go with Raven because he mentioned Benny Hill and Monty Python.
Told you.
They're just never going to get over Monty
I'm
Python.
Sorry,
it's still. Over. You want to get in the Halloween spirit? Alexa has all these new things that you can say to it that are hauntingly hilarious.
It's not only that, too, but it's useful if you're doing like a display or anything like that. You can hook it up to your audio speakers. Alexa does a lot.
Alexa, play spooky Halloween sounds.
Hear spooky Halloween sound effects on Amazon Music.
Oh.
Effective.
Hello? Oh.
Go away!
Nice. Okay.
That is scary.
Yeah.
Is that a chicken? Chicken scary?
Clearly an owl.
Oh, all right. I wasn't sure.
A chicken of the branches of the woods, I guess.
Alexa, open spooky sounds.
Rainstorm is pretty spooky.
Right.
I mean, that's nice just to sleep to. I bet you they got that same soundtrack categorized like 5 times.
It says that there's a secret Easter egg hidden when you do this one.
Want to listen more?
Yes.
When we come to see the candy bear here to play, if you don't come play with us, then we will kill
turn it off.
It says it's going to kill us.
Turn it off.
What
did it say?
It said it's going to kill us.
Get rid of it.
It's going to kill you. Alexa, are you going to kill us?
Sorry. An error occurred. Please say again.
That's not a denial.
Alexa, spooky scream.
Is it going to come after this bell?
I don't know.
Is that what's going to happen?
Want to listen more?
Yes. No, we don't want this again.
No, no.
Definitely not.
No.
Alexa, tell a scary story.
Ghost cow. There's a hilltop on a pasture somewhere far, far away, where no one will venture to work or play. But why, you might ask, since the grass is so green, the sky so blue, the whole scene so serene? Because of a ghost cow who haunts the land. When other cows tip, she will stand. She stands in the sun and the wind and the rain, munching on grass and crunching on grain. And she waits all the while for you to walk by, to give you a scare and maybe a cry. Because since Ghost Cow crossed over, she no longer says moo, but rather cries out a most frightening
whoa.
That was cool.
Yeah.
All right, Alexa.
Alexa, start Trick the Witch.
Oh, hello, dear. I'm Lamona the Witch. I can see you are trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treat.
Well, I choose trick.
She chose trick, so let's trick the witch. Which do you think will scare her the most? A vampire? A ghost?
Raven.
Or a zombie?
Huh.
A zombie!
Zombie it is. Let's make some zombie noises together. That will really scare her.
Okay.
Just take the treat and make the zombie go away.
Who do you think is better, Lamona the Witch
or Anna the Witch?
Oh. All I want to know is, Alexa, where's my stuff?
A package was delivered yesterday at 3:43 p.m. to the front door.
Nice.
Anna and Raven's hell of a story.
It's a hell of a story. And here's the full disclosure. This is my cousin, Adriana. And when I got the submission, I was like, Adriana, why didn't you just text me? And how come I never knew this story?
All right, Adriana, this story better be good with all that buildup. Let's see here. What's your story?
So 2015, there was a massive snowstorm called Nemo. And my family was pumped because we are all avid snowmobilers. So we head up to our cabin, weekend of, the storm hits. It's awful. There's zero visibility. Snow is so high. Like, it's just awful conditions for snowmobiling. My grandfather had this idea. Why don't we wait till nighttime and go riding in the streets where hopefully it will be plowed by then and there will be streetlights we can follow. So we were like, yeah, great idea. We head out. Visibility is terrible. But with the streetlights, it's not bad. We're driving around. And I notice, like, we're taking lots of turns. And I'm starting to get really tired. It kind of hit me. I was like, okay, we're lost. Like, we can't find where we are. Eventually, we stop. My cousin comes over to me, and he's like, hey, we're lost. We can't find our way back. We ended up at the on-ramp to the highway. And he was like, we're going to get on the highway. Don't stop for anything. We have to get back to the cabin. We only get a few feet. We can't make it. So scratch that plan. We turn around, come up with a new plan. So my grandfather's like, okay, it's time to find shelter. I'm like, find shelter? Like, we're in the middle of the woods. Where are we going to find shelter? He's like, the next house we see with the light on, we have to knock. So we drive a little bit. We see a house. Front lights are on. So we just go up in the middle of the snowstorm, in the middle of the night, ring their doorbell, and it's like this older couple. We're like, please help us. Like, we're lost. Like, we can't get back to our place. So they're like, okay, like, come around the back. So we, like, go around the back to their back porch, and they, like, talk to us for a little bit. They let us in. My grandfather and my cousin decide to leave my brother and myself with these people and try to find the way back to the cabin. So they just left us with these strangers in the middle of the night, in the middle of a snowstorm. Somehow made it back to our cabin. They managed to get the car onto the highway to the next exit down where we were, came to get us. And then when it was time to turn around, the other side of the highway hadn't been plowed because the highway was technically shut down. Mm. My grandfather just turned the car around and drove the wrong side of up the highway. And we made it back eventually.
What if those people wore your skin? They just left you at a stranger's house. Like, who? So, like, it's crazy.
I mean, they were nice, but, like, where our cabin is, like, you definitely live there to not be bothered.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you want to be alone. You want to be isolated. You know, the thing that I'm taking from all of this, so first off, that's a hell of a story. Thank you. And it sounds like a hell of a night. I thought you were going to tell me you guys tried to get back on the highway, got stuck, and then had to walk back to those strangers' cabin.
You live there
and
now.
And you were like, you know what? It's going to be four of us instead of two of us. But your grandfather's a wild man. Your grandfather's like, nope, let's go out and go. Nope, let's ride. Nope, I'll drive on the wrong side of the highway. Your grandfather is one of those guys that would smoke a pack of Pall Malls non-filtered and live till he was 100, drinking whiskey in the morning.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
My gosh.
He's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, that's a hell of a story, Adriana. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Of course.
If you have a hell of a story, too, head to annaandraven.com. British Prime Minister Liz Truss resigned after 44 days. Here's what she had to say.
I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Shortest reign ever.
Bye, Felicia. See you later.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I don't know, 44 days, like, just doesn't seem like you gave it much of a shot.
There's got to be a lot that we don't know or we don't understand, obviously, right?
I mean, I guess that's what the newspaper is for, but I'm sure it's not an easy job. But, I mean, you knew that before you ran for the job. I mean, it's not one of those jobs where you're like, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk.
But doesn't that happen sometimes? I was thinking about it. Like, sometimes you take a job and you're like, yeah, this will be fine. And then you show up and you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let me get out of this before I get too far in.
Well, that happens, too, because, you know, usually when you're taking a job, a lot of times, if you're questionable on it, you're a little bit desperate at that point, right?
Absolutely.
It's time to get a job. It's time to get to work.
What was the shortest amount of time you ever spent at a job? Producer John.
A long weekend. Literally, it was Friday until that Monday. Yeah, it was a door-to-door sales job for window panes. I don't know. It was like 12 years ago. But it was the worst. It was my training weekend. And during the training, I was like, No, this is not going to be a thing that I'm going to do. And I noped out on Monday. Just called him. I was like, no.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. Window pane selling seems pretty.
Brutal.
Yeah. Brutal.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Producer Sean, shortest amount of time you ever spent at a job?
The shortest amount of time I've ever spent at a job was 2 years. It was my first job when I was 14. I was in edible
years?
Arrangements. Yeah.
I get that.
What?
Yeah. And because, you know, technically I wasn't supposed to be working. So I had to, like, you know, they hired me under the table. And 2 years later, when I was 16, I got my first official job.
What was the job? Unquote. Did you say what the job was?
Edible arrangements.
Oh, edible
arrangements.
Wait
a minute. Wait a minute. I mean, so that's a while back. So you were able to finagle the labor laws as far as what age you were starting with edible arrangements. This must have been when the edible arrangements was in somebody's basement.
I mean, how old were you?
Well, it's like the opening of Amazon.
Yeah, I was 14.
I was either 14 or 15 when I got my first job at Baskin Robbins scooping ice cream.
Yeah, but
I was legal.
I mean, right. And yeah. I mean, that's a smaller, even though it's a national chain, it's still kind of small operation, I feel like. And not for nothing, you're a little bit older. So the way that they took working papers then is different than the way that they should have been taking it by the time that Sean was going to work.
Yeah. Raven, what was the shortest amount of time you ever spent at a job?
Oh, one shift. One shift. I was a waiter on a cruise ship, like not, but like a river. motorboat cruise ship or whatever.
He's jumped off.
Well, here's the thing. It would have been a half shift. I mean, it would have been a half shift if I could have gotten back to shore. No question about it.
Can you imagine? You're just like, you're on a cruise. It's your first job. You don't know how to just jump off.
Yeah, I quit.
I'm telling you, I knew it wasn't for me within like 8 minutes. I was like, nope, this is not going to be happening.
British Prime Minister Liz Truss resigned after 44 days. 44 days.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very long if you're the leader of a country.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, everybody else has had a gig where you knew as soon as you walked in, you were like, nah, this ain't for me.
What's the shortest amount of time you ever spent at a job? 1-800-330-9999. Dana and Raven.
I was working at David's Cookies in the village where I grew up, and I spent 3 days there, three shifts. That's it. I couldn't do it.
It was too much. It was too much. The demand for cookies is high.
It was, well, they wanted us to cheat and scoop the ice cream in a certain way where it'll be hollow in the middle. And I couldn't do it to the customers.
The moral, it was morally wrong. You couldn't do it. I thought it was because they weren't going to let you
totally,
eat on the
totally.
Shift. Yeah.
How old were you?
I think I was like 15 at the time.
Oh.
And I just couldn't cheat people out of the ice cream they deserved.
Oh, I'm with you, girl. I would have had a real moral problem with that, too.
At 15?
Caitlin, shortest amount of time you ever spent at a job?
4 days.
4 days. What were you doing?
4 days because I was a social worker. And they forgot to tell me that it was a bilingual school and I would be using Google Translate to talk to every school student.
Wait a minute. Imagine you go there to do social work and you're ready to help, and then all of a sudden you realize you can't understand what anybody is saying.
That's a difficult situation for you and for the students.
Absolutely.
Really,
you're telling me.
How do you leave that
Thank
out?
You.
By the way, nobody speaks English here. How do you leave that out?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Hey, Jennifer, what's the shortest amount of time you ever spent at a job?
About a month, waitressing.
Well, what happened? I mean, you lasted a month.
Well, I lasted a month, and I went in. I had a horrible manager at the restaurant, and I knew going into that shift that I was going to be quitting that day, so I waited until I had a full, complete section full of tables, and then I walked out in the middle of the shift.
Oh, you're a terrible person. I'm not giving you a pass on that. I was a server. Wow.
You got to finish bringing the people the fries.
I felt bad for the people, but...
You did that on
purpose. I felt bad for the customers, but...
Oh,
but
no.
But not really.
I just wanted to really throw a monkey wrench in.
I consider myself a very forgiving person. You are not forgiven. I'm sorry. You are not.
Kevin, shortest amount of time you spent at a job. What happened?
I think it was around 10 minutes.
What? 10 minutes? Doing what?
I was at... And I walked in, and when I asked for the person that hired me, they said, oh, she was let go the other day. I said, she was supposed to train me. They said, okay, well, while we wait for someone qualified to train you, clean the bathroom. I said, okay, great. They gave me the cleaning supplies. I walked into the bathroom, smelled like something died in there. I opened the window. I jumped out.
Come on.
Bye.
I mean.
I couldn't.
God, I hope you took a macchiato with you.
I mean, I love your storytelling skills. Yeah. Wow.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Being in charge of anything is not easy. Whether it's an animal and you're a pet parent or you actually have human children. Oh, man. These weeks can get very long. 1-800-330-9999. What did you do this week to earn you that margarita? Megan.
I passed my Pennsylvania property and casualty insurance test.
That's cool. What does that mean?
So basically, I submitted it. I already work for State Farm, but now I can sell insurance.
Oh, okay. Congratulations, yeah. Or I'm sorry. Which one? I mean, you sound excited about it, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Is selling insurance more cool now, right? Like, because years ago, it seemed kind of drab. But now, there's so many fun commercials. Is it now like the jet set lifestyle, you think, Anna?
I think so, but I guess she could probably tell us better than we know.
Yeah, what's it like?
I love it. I think it's awesome. Not for everybody, because it's a very hard test to pass. But if you do pass it, it's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing accomplishment. And there's definitely a lot of rewards. I know a lot more about it shifted to a lot of people.
Well, thank you for educating us. I didn't know. And let the gold rain down from the heavens upon you, girl. Good for you. Right. So when you have an actual accident, you know exactly what to do. And that is drive away at a very high rate of speed, cover your license plate, and make sure nobody sees you.
Exactly.
You sound like a professional.
I don't actually do that.
All right. Well, you enjoy your margarita this weekend.
And congratulations. Great work.
Thank you. You guys have a great weekend.
Sophia, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
So my dog has declared war on my brand new Roomba. He bit off a piece of it. I spent $400 on that thing. And so, yeah, margarita.
Some dogs, they just don't like something coming around the corner on them, man.
No.
Something surprising. When I come down the stairs sometimes, if I've been upstairs for an hour or so, the dog forgets, freaks out.
Really?
Oh, yeah, one of them. And if people sleep over, oh, forget it. They're coming down the stairs all rubbing their eyes after waking up, and my dog is screaming in their face.
Lila, we got a Roomba. It was a hand-me-down. Paul somehow persuaded one of the guys that works for him to give him one. I don't know. It's the most random thing. But now we have this, like, used Roomba in our house. And the first time that my dog Lila saw it, she freaked out. And now she cautiously approaches it, and then it moves, and then she runs away as fast as she can. I can imagine one day we come home and she also destroys that thing.
It's so strange that somebody rehomed their Roomba.
Well, the story behind it is even crazier. The guy said that he no longer wanted it in his house because he believed that it was mapping out his house. And that it was sending the information to wherever the Roomba gods are. And it, like, I don't know, the Russians were coming. I have no idea. But at the end of the day, they believed that, like, it was like a spy living disguised as a Roomba. So Paul was like, we'll take it.
Right. Come on in. I don't care whether or not you know where the first floor bathroom is. Doesn't matter to me.
Here you go, Vladimir.
Kitchen's to the left, comrade.
Well, you enjoy your margarita.
Thank you.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Kylie and Rob. Kylie, what's going on?
Hey, guys. So, basically, Rob's parents, we just celebrated our one-year wedding anniversary, and Rob's parents gifted us a very generous trip to Aspen. His parents are avid skiers. Like, they go on black diamonds, like, they're very intense. But Rob and I, literally, we don't ski, like, at all. They gifted us this trip to this, like, ski resort, this lodge. But I think that we should ask his parents that instead of spending the money on going to a ski lodge where him and I don't ski, if they would be interested in paying for a trip to somewhere we would actually enjoy, like somewhere to the Bahamas or somewhere more tropical, since we don't ski at all.
Delicate. Is it a family trip? Is everybody going to go, Rob?
It's not a family trip. It's just, you know, for us. But it means a lot to my parents because, you know, they love it so much. And I've gone with them on trips before and we've had a good time. So they just want to give us a good time like, you know, they've experienced before. And it means a lot. So I think we should do it.
Okay. Would they be offended if you said, oh, Kylie and I were talking about it, we'd really rather go here instead. Do you mind, you know, canceling this trip and having us book there? Would they be upset?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing. I think they might be. It means that much to them. You know, it means a lot to me to make them happy and all that also. You know, so it might be complicated. That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's something great about the fact that they want to turn you on to something that they enjoy, because you would think that in the future, that means that they do want to travel together. On the other hand, they're sending you to Aspen, and you don't ski, and you're not incredibly wealthy, and you're not with them. What are you going to do in Aspen?
You go to dinner. I'm sure it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm sure it's beautiful, but it's not cheap.
It is beautiful.
From what I know, it's not cheap. And if you're going in the winter, it's not like you're going hiking.
They're not paying for the trip. That's a free trip. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I kind of understand where Rob is coming from, where if I had given my kids a trip, of course, I would probably hopefully send them somewhere they'd want to go. But, you know, nevertheless, I would be like a little bit offended if, like, my daughter-in-law came back to me and was like, we don't want to go on your trip. We want to go on this trip instead.
Of course you would be. Yeah. That's the thing is, I can also see you searching yourself. Would you be out of touch enough to make that error and not realize?
I don't know. Let's see what the audience has to say. Can you ask your in-laws to rebook a trip to a different place after they've given you a specific one?
Right. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Kylie and Rob just celebrated their one-year wedding anniversary, and Rob's parents, who are avid skiers, surprised them by booking them a one-week trip to Aspen. Now, here's the thing. Kylie and Rob don't ski. And even though Aspen is important to his parents, they're not coming with them. So Kylie says, why don't we just ask them if we can go somewhere else? This is supposed to be a gift. We want to go somewhere warm. Let's just tell them.
I mean, if it's not something that you're into, it's great that the parents would want to expose them to something that means so much to them. But like you said, they're not going on the trip. This is not a family trip. This is, hey, the two of you go to Aspen. It makes me wonder, too, like when the parents were in Aspen, did they just get some deal? And they were like, we've got this extra trip. I mean, not that it matters, but it just, if they don't go and they don't love to ski, where's the consideration on that?
But Rob says, it's a gift from our parents and this place means a lot to them, so we should just go. It's a free trip. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Kylie really needs to suck it up and just go to Aspen, but his parents really shouldn't go up on a trip to Aspen if you don't like skiing. But I think Kylie, for this one time, needs to just suck it up and go to Aspen and just maybe take a skiing lesson and tell the parents, well, it's really not for me, but the trip was great.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Kylie and Rob just celebrated their one-year anniversary, and Rob's parents got them a pretty awesome gift. A week trip to Aspen. Now, here's the problem. Even though Rob's parents are avid skiers, Kylie and Rob don't ski. And Kylie's like, I don't want to go to Aspen. Why don't we ask them to send us somewhere we want to go, like the Bahamas?
It does seem like a strange choice, right? I mean, even if it's someplace that means so much to his family, if they don't have like a chalet, a villa, a cabin, whatever you want to call it, some sort of timeshare there or whatever, why do you send somebody who doesn't ski or snowboard to a mountain?
And a part of me gets torn about this, Raven, because like I have a connection to like this boardwalk beach town that I go to every single summer since I was a little kid.
Sure.
And nothing would make me happier if my kids went there one day, too. And I could see me doing something like this, being like, I got you a week at the hotel, you know?
Yeah, but they've been there and they're not expected to surf.
Yeah, but what if
they get to just go?
What if my daughter's husband one day is like, I don't want to go to that place. Then what? No. What do you think?
Well, you'll hate him.
Yeah, exactly. Can you return a trip that your in-laws gave you? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I think that I'm on the side of the in-laws, the parents, because I think that they don't go from their perspective. It would just be inconsiderate, especially in regards to the fact that like they're willing to pay for the trip. And there's always something for somebody no matter where you go. So even if you're not a skier, you don't snowboard, you don't do anything in Aspen in general, there's always going to be something there for them to do regardless.
Hey, Stephanie, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I think she should just suck it up. If she's getting a free trip, she should just go and enjoy herself. And if she hasn't been there before, she can just learn how to ski, enjoy what they're giving her for free. If I had gotten a trip for free, I would go.
The only thing is like when you go on a trip, it's free, it's great, all that's great, but it's not just the trip itself, right? You have to allot the time. It's your vacation time. That means that's a trip you don't get to take that you wanted to put on your list.
Yeah, but it's a free trip. And on Raven, who's this?
Dave from New Raven. I'm on her side because if I don't want to go somewhere where my wife won't want to go, where I'm not into the cold weather or whatever the case may be, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to enjoy something and so I would just say, listen, let's just make another arrangement or let's just discuss it or whatever the case may be so that everybody can be happy.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rob, our audience agreed with you. A gift is a gift. So if they were gave you like a picture frame for your first anniversary, you wouldn't return that. I mean, maybe you would. I don't know. But ultimately, if they put the time and the thought into this, then just go and enjoy it.
Right, exactly. And we can find stuff to do. We don't necessarily have to ski. And even if we do, it'll be fun, you know, to learn, you know. So I think it'll be fine.
Kylie, you going to have the best time ever skiing or not skiing and just walking around Aspen?
Well, I tell you, the lodges are great.
Oh, my gosh. I will, like, do my best to enjoy, but honestly, I'm terrified of skiing, so it's going to be kind of awkward.
Don't worry. I got you.
I'm not a skier. I go skiing with my family all the time. I don't actually ski. I sit at the lodge. I, like, you know, I'm always back with the young kids, and I have a great time. It's beautiful.
Good bars, good food.
Yeah.
You know, great spas usually at these places,
Absolutely.
Too, because there's people there exerting themselves. That won't be you, of course, but...
But you can still get a massage. And you can definitely get a massage. No one's going to stop you.
I love the eucalyptus steam. So nice.
That's so true.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. Couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$1,800 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven, thanks to Discover Card. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Gail, you ready to play today?
I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Oh, Raven, could you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Gail.
Okay, Gail. So Raven is walking out. Now, when that door closes, he can't hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in and ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Okay, number one. The TV show Deadliest Catch is seemingly in jeopardy after Discovery issued a statement about the upcoming 19th season. What do the fishermen on the Deadliest Catch fish for?
Alaskan king crab.
Number two, Kelly Rizzo recently revealed her new tattoo in honor of her late husband, Bob Saget. What ABC competition show did Saget host from 1987 to 1995?
America's Funniest Videos, Home Videos.
Number three, Taylor Swift released her 10th studio album at midnight. What's that album called?
Oh, not Sweater. That was the old one. I don't remember.
Number four, a list of horror...
Midnight, probably.
A list of horror movie locations you can visit includes the house and stairs from The Exorcist in Georgetown, and in North Carolina, the house from the movie with paranormal investigators, the Warrens, and the Perrin family. What is that?
I don't remember.
God. Number five, Dwayne The Rock Johnson says his 15-year-old dream is about to come a reality with the release of his new DC film, Black Adam. What was the latest Disney movie he starred in, and it was released in 2021 with Emily Blunt? It wasn't an animated movie.
It wasn't an animated movie.
I might just give you a random hint for that one, too, trying to help you out.
I know, because I was going to say Moana, but that wasn't 21.
All right, that's what I said. That's all right. I tried. I'm trying to give you some help. All right, Gail, let me bring Raven back in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yo.
2.5 for Gail.
2.5 sounds like nonsense.
I'm just trying to help her out. All right. Number one, the TV show Deadliest Catch is seemingly in jeopardy after Discovery issued a statement about the upcoming 19th season. Mm. What do fishermen on the Deadliest Catch fish for?
King crab.
Yes. Number two, Kelly Rizzo recently revealed her new tattoo in honor of her late husband, Bob Saget. What ABC competition show did Bob Saget host from 1987 to 1995?
It's going to be America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yes. Number three, Taylor Swift released her 10th studio album at midnight last night. What's that album called?
Isn't it 13 Sleepless Nights? Or yeah, 13 Sleepless Nights?
Midnights.
13 Sleepless Midnights?
No, it's just Midnights.
Just Midnights.
Just Midnights.
I thought it was going to be 13 something.
That well, way. It's about 13. So it's 13 songs based on 13 sleepless nights throughout her life.
Okay.
Yeah. Number four, a list of horror movie locations you can visit includes the house and stairs from The Exorcist in Georgetown, and in North Carolina, the house from the movie with paranormal investigators, the Warrens, and the Perrin family. What was that?
The Conjuring?
Yes.
Boom! Oh.
And number five. That's when he beats you 3-2.5. It's so annoying.
I know. Okay, right? Shoot.
And number five, Dwayne The Rock Johnson says his 15-year dream is about to become a reality with the release of his new DC film, Black Adam. What was the latest Disney movie he starred in released in 2021 with Emily Blunt?
Is that Jungle Cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gail. He beat you 4-2.5. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
My name is Gail, and I can't beat Raven.